You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Welcome back to the program. In studio for the first time in 2026.
It's the first time.
State Senator Dora Drake.
Good morning, beautiful people. How you doing on this cold Thursday morning?
I don't know. Depends on the person. Some people are doing very well.
Well, that's good.
I wouldn't want to be Mandela Barnes right now. I wouldn't want to be him because he's got to be thinking to himself, all I had to do was just nothing. And there wouldn't even be a stage of people I'd have to share. But whatever, we're not talking about that. We should be concerned, Senator Drake, because the Wisconsin State Senate recently rejected an equal rights amendment which moves anti-discrimination bans, Senate Joint Resolution 94, to the November general election ballot. And here's why I get worried about referendums, because when people on initial inspection hear an equal rights amendment, oh, well, that sounds like something that I should vote for. Mm-hmm. But this particular amendment is not what meets the eye.
No.
How would you explain to a layperson what is going to appear on the ballot and what the implications of this referendum are?
If you look at the language that's going to be on the ballot, it would say something to the language of that you what you would want our state constitution to prohibit discrimination or preferential treatment based on race, sex, national origin, and ethnicity. And you would think, oh, absolutely, I want to support that. The reality is preferential treatment could be implicated with our state programs that are actually in push to actually address anti-discrimination efforts that have happened over the years. So if you vote for this constitutional amendment on November, you are gutting all the services and programs and public dollars that will go to address that would combat discrimination. And as legislators, we would not be able to write any legislation to hold people accountable when there is discrimination that's happening. So, for example, and it's mind-boggling because you said something before you got off the air, and I want to ask the question, where are white folks being oppressed at? The majority of the state is by white Wisconsinites. And there was a DEI report that Representative Shea Sortwell put out that essentially showed that the majority of programming and resources that were handed out under those measures went to poor white folks in our state. In Adams County, they got $1 million to go towards public health initiatives for their elderly and disabled folks. I ain't mad at that. You know, if the goal is for us to help people, then that's our job, because we're literally looking at data saying, hey, we're seeing discrepancies here. What are some things that we can do to alleviate that? But instead of legislative Republicans actually just largening the pot of resources, they are now making it where we can't even do our jobs as legislators, and they would rather harm their own constituents versus and serving it as meat for their base for the November election and pit black, you know, white folks against black and brown folks and women in order to accomplish that. And I do fear that if this was passed, we would go back to pre-civil rights era, if not more.
And in order for this referendum to be voted down, a majority of white people would have to vote against a policy that would allow them to sue if they get discriminated against. So I want to, let me read the statement that I have, and I want to bring this back to you. Like, mm-hmm. How on earth do you spin this? Quote, Wisconsin Republicans want to end remedies and justice for women, along with black and brown communities, not end discrimination. They rejected our amendment that guarantees equal rights for everyone, only for Republicans to claim, quote, reverse racism as their justification. Their actions are no different from Donald Trump's hate-filled rhetoric from the White House, urging us to blame our neighbors for our struggles instead of uplifting each other. Their sole plan for Wisconsin is to divide us while the wealthy profit from this division. Improving the lives and affordability of Wisconsinites is not their concern. This amendment will legalize discrimination by making accountability unconstitutional. This November, it is up to the people of our state to stand up for compassion, morality, and justice for all. And so here's what I did, Senator Drake, because I'm a person who loves the democracy.
I know you do.
I put a poll up on our YouTube channel because I just want to see the sentiments of the people that listen to this program, which sometimes I'm afraid of. And so here's the question. I made it very simple, Senator Drake. Do white people face discrimination? And there's only two answers, yes or no. So the question is on our YouTube poll. Do white people face discrimination? 76 votes have been cast, and 32% of people say yes, and 68% of the people say no. So there is a sentiment, at least amongst these people that view this program, and God help all of them, that there are some white people that face discrimination. But then if you look at other parts of the state and rural parts of the state that don't like Milwaukee, they don't like diversity, it is going to be tough for them to see that this referendum essentially hurts everybody, does not necessarily give them an advantage. But let me ask you this one question. So because we've had many, many years, if not centuries, of people of color, African-Americans in particular, not getting and receiving, let's say, public contracts or government contracts or state contracts. There was, and I think this goes back to Tommy Thompson's time as governor, a small percentage of state of Wisconsin contracts for services have to go to either minority businesses or African-American businesses. What happens to those contracts where you have to have 3% or 5% women participation or minority participation or Native American or Black participation on those contracts? Does this referendum make those illegal?
It does. And it's clear because in committee, you know, when it was presented to us, first off, the authors blatantly said that they did no research on how this would impact any of our state programs. And it's not just state, mind you. This is anything that you would add public dollars. So if you think of our state, if you think of our public schools or school boards in general, if you think about our counties and cities, if there is any specific allocation of dollars that you say we want to help a specific group of people in this area, it can be litigated against. Will, which is the conservative, essentially lawsuit group in the state, literally stated and mentioned this program, and they misquoted what they what the program actually does. And they said that they believed it was wrong, that you have to continue to address discrimination for past mistakes, and that's discriminatory. It makes no sense, because now you're literally saying that as lawmakers, we're just going to make it impossible for us to actually change that. And what they will do is, and we've seen it, so California and I think Michigan has passed this type of language already. We have already seen that, you know, there's been decreased resources and access to opportunity in ways of contracting in terms of opportunity and education. And we know that when it comes to, you know, minority-owned business owners, and it's not just minority-owned, it's women-owned, it's disabled, it's veterans. Those are all included in that 5% goal. And we've only met that goal 8 times out of the 40 years it's been implemented. So the first time we met it was under Governor Jim Doyle. Governor Walker achieved that goal twice. And then ever since Governor Evers was elected in 2020, he's been consistent. If that program goes away and this constitution goes, you know, is in our constitution, then I can assure you Will is going to file a lawsuit, because they already filed a lawsuit with our Department of Transportation on their own contracting program that they have. And unfortunately, our department has had to make some changes because of that. So this is just a start of what they're trying to do statewide, where they're going to be looking at anything from state down to local and file a lawsuit so they could get those programs off the books.
You got time for one more segment?
Of course.
All right, I'm going to take a break, come back. I want to ask you this question, but I want to get your answer on the other side of the break. Let's say there was, a public university like the University of Wisconsin, Madison, Stevens Point, Eau Claire, Oshkosh. And maybe for many, many years and many, many decades, they simply did not allow African-American or minority students admissions to those schools. And let's say now they value diversity because, you know, university campuses should be universal, including the students that attend, because it creates a very diverse and rich learning environment. If the University of Wisconsin-Madison says, you know what, we want to increase the number of African-American students here on this campus, if this referendum passes, will they be able to have the latitude to increase diversity on campuses where we know more diversity is needed? But don't answer yet. We're going to take a break, come back, continue our conversation with State Senator Dora Drake. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Every child deserves a school that sees their brilliance, a place that believes who they can become. At Milwaukee College Prep, we set the bar high with strong character, high expectations, and academic excellence. Starting as early as age 3, Milwaukee College Prep scholars continue to outperform their peers across Milwaukee because we believe that every child can achieve greatness. And the best part? It's tuition-free, so if you're looking for a school that partners with you, challenges your child, and prepares them for college and beyond, visit MilwaukeeCollegePrep.com because Milwaukee College Prep is where brilliance begins. Some of you adults need to go to Milwaukee College Prep too, I swear. State Senator Dora Drake is in the studio. So if a university campus or any other campus for that matter says, you know what, we want to have a much more diverse student body, and in our next admitting class of freshmen, we want to have 10%, 25%, or 30% African-American, Latino, and Asian students to help diversify our campus. If they do that, if that college or university does that and sets that policy, the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty will sue that college and will probably win if this constitutional amendment passes, meaning entities will no longer have the ability to choose their level of diversity. And if they do, and maybe if a white person doesn't get admitted into that college, in which the white person has got 30 other choices, they will be able to sue for discrimination because clearly white people in the state are being discriminated against. Does that kind of sum it up?
Yes, it does. And the other thing, too, if folks remember a couple years ago, there was that horrendous deal that happened between UW system and Speaker Voss saying that if you want to get payouts for your employees, then you have to remove any type of language with diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so, unfortunately, the Board of Regents in totality did vote for that measure. And so you they're already changing the language where it's focused on – I couldn't even tell you what the language is. But should this constitutional amendment pass and say that is the goal that, you know, our colleges and universities who want to achieve, they couldn't mention the actual demographics that they are striving to uplift or support. It would be focused solely on income or maybe geography, maybe disabled. And that obviously will shorten the pool of resources. And this is what's beyond frustrating because, again, legislative Republicans, they've been in power for over a decade, right? So they've had ample time to use the state resources available to expand the pot if they really thought that some of their constituents were not getting the resources that they need. Instead, they would rather minimize that and, on top of that, make, you know, minorities and women the scapegoat on all of this. And one thing that I really need to press on this, and I mentioned on the floor, we are seeing what's happening nationwide, right? We are seeing what's happening in Minneapolis, you know, and what's happening with our Latino brothers and sisters. And we have also seen what this administration is actively doing in terms of attacking voting rights, you know, at the national level. If people remember what happened during the Reconstruction era, the reason why that failed was because Southern lawmakers refused to protect Black folks at that time and eradicated everything, which is why we have there was the Jim Crow period, and we didn't have any type of justice until the Civil Rights Act, which was around 80 years. This will happen in Wisconsin if we do not put an end to this. And I have to reiterate this. Helping people that have been discriminated against is not discriminating against another group of people. It is uplifting everybody. And again, if people really want to look at the data and not be gaslighted by their own representatives, which is distasteful, you will see that the very programs that we have that are focused on diversity, equity, inclusion are actually serving the majority of white Wisconsinites in our state. And I want you to get to the help. But your colleagues would rather do the opposite and cause harm and lie to your face to get votes. And that's where we're at today.
Rights are not like pie. If I get a bigger slice, that doesn't mean your slice get smaller, if we all get some of the pie, we all get fat together and mm-hmm. we all can eat the pie. Well, there's good news because I was at a candidate forum last night and you were too behind me. I just didn't.
So I was driving back from Madison, y'all. It was a long night last night, but it was important to be there. I was listening to it on the way back home. And, I will say, like, all the candidates did a good job, sharing their.
Did they? But you have to say that.
This
I don't want to put you.
No. This is my caveat. Look, we know all the issues that Democrats stand for. In the Senate, we know that we will get the majority because we have amazing candidates, and we are doing the willpower to get there. And the Assembly can do that too. But the reality is, we are living in a completely different political time. There's questions. I think I heard one on how to uplift minority-owned business and what. What their plans will be to address ICE, if and when they come. And though it's good that, I think the candidates should speak on what their accomplishments are so people can know their track of work. Like, for example, when they mentioned how to support minority-owned and women-owned businesses. Even though we've had the Main Street Bounce Back Grant and that was successful, the reality is if this is pushed, the only way that the governor or the legislature can do anything is if someone sues this and that it's changing our constitution, or we get the trifecta and we're able to pass it twice consecutively to reverse it. That's the only way. And so some of the things that folks are advocating for, which are necessary, all tie into what happens with this constitution amendment. For example, if you talk health equity, because I mentioned that with Adams County, we know that if you look at health equity, the data literally does it based on, the type of your access to income, where you stay, where you live, the barriers that you dealt with. All of those things play into how you would be able to be holistically healthy, not just having access to health care, but all the other things beyond that, too. What happens when you can only focus on one of those measures of health equity that is literally based on science? You can't make the policy that you want. You can't address issues focused on women, and we have a bill that's focused on postpartum that is still stuck in the Assembly. That could be faced with litigation if we put dollars towards that. It impacts so many lives and so many things in this way. And I hope that all the candidates for governor, as well as all the candidates across the state, realize that this is a time where we have to state what we mean. Because Republicans are doing it, they've made tons of press releases saying how Democrats are against civil rights, voting rights, and the whole nine. And if they're bold enough to lie in people's faces, we need bold enough to tell the truth.
The Democrats that were on stage last night, none of them can do any of the things that they say they would like to do if they are governor without a Democratic-controlled legislature. So we hope that who of these candidates gets elected governor, and it seems that the Democrats do have a tailwind, you would think, in this midterm election where Donald Trump is, let's say, underperforming, that we hope that we can get that trifecta in which you speak of, because unfortunately it's the only way that we are able to get anything done if one party controls everything. So State Senator Drake, thank you.
Thank you.
For being here. When are you going to run for governor?
I think there's enough work to do in the Senate. The 4th Senate District has a lot of work to do, whether it's reckless driving, obviously fighting against people trying to undercut civil rights and new Jim Crow laws in our state. I have more than enough to do what I have right now. In the future, we'll see. But, the people of the 4th Senate District need me here.
Because all right. Wait for you to go through some type of period before you actually have the ability.
It's David Crowley. I'm just saying there's room for an eighth on that stage. You just said, thank you, State Senator Dora Drake. We appreciate having you here. You're always welcome back anytime. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.